If you feel like you know what to do, but still find yourself starting over every few weeks or every month, this episode is for you. Because the problem isn't that you're lazy, unmotivated, or honestly doing it wrong. The problem is that nobody has ever taught you how to build results that actually survive real life. Today, we're talking all about how to stop burning yourself out and start creating results that actually last. Welcome to Well on Her Way, the podcast helping busy women cut through the noise of today's wellness industry to focus on what really moves the needle. I'm Dani Marenberg, nutritionist, women's health advocate, and mom juggling it all right alongside you. I know how overwhelming it is to do it all and still find time for you. Here, we're done with wellness that overwhelms. Each week, I break down the science, tune out the noise, and sit down with trusted experts to make health feel clear and doable for your real everyday life. You'll leave every episode with simple, sustainable steps you can use right away to feel your best and live with more clarity and confidence. Because wellness shouldn't feel like another full-time job, and you deserve to feel well on your way. Welcome back to the Real Results Reset series here on the podcast. I am very excited to bring you episode 3, and this is the episode that is really going to tie everything together. In episode 1, we talked about awareness, understanding why what you've tried before hasn't been working for you. In episode 2, we talked about removing metabolic and hormonal blockers, roadblocks that keep women stuck in cycles of dieting and frustration, especially if you're in your 30s, 40s, and 50s. And today, this is the integration episode. This is about execution, but not the type of like hustle execution, not white knuckling your way through another reset or program or diet. This is about how to actually live this in a very busy life with stress, with kids, with work, with travel, with holidays, with vacations, with hormones that are no longer 22 years old. Because what really matters is repeatable habits. You can have as much research and research and research in the book. That is not going to change your life. It isn't until you apply what you learn into repeatable habits where your life changes. Without that, you're never going to see any sort of change. So let's start with maybe the uncomfortable truth. Most resets fail not because you don't care. You definitely care. I know you do. But they fail because they're built on this intensity instead of sustainability. So what usually happens is you go all in for 2, maybe 4 weeks. You overhaul everything at once. You rely on motivation instead of a structure. And eventually, life happens. You miss a workout. You go out to eat a couple times. You get tired. Your kiddo is teething and wakes up in the middle of the night, and you wake up 6 times throughout the night. This might be talking from personal experience here, but all of a sudden you feel like you have just totally failed. So you stop, and then the cycle repeats itself. Here is the reframe that I want you to hear. The goal here is not perfect weeks. Perfect weeks, if that is your goal, that is what's keeping you stuck. The goal is repeatable weeks. Results don't come from how hard you can push when everything is aligned. They come from what you can keep doing when things are messy, because truthfully, that is life. That is where consistency wins every single time. So if results are going to last, if you actually want to see results that are going to sustain, not just for 2 to 4 weeks, but they're going to sustain for the long haul, you need these 3 things, not 12 things, not an entire personality overhaul, just these 3 pillars that are going to work together. Pillar number 1 is you need repeatable nutrition. This is where so many women overcomplicate things. Sustainable nutrition does not mean you have to be hitting your macros perfectly or tracking forever. You can't ever eat out. You have to be on and 100% hitting it every single time, all the time. Not at all. It means that you are eating in a way that you can maintain on your worst weeks, not on your best. So two concepts I want you to remember here to really help you lean into how can I eat in a way that is going to keep me consistent on my worst week, not necessarily my best, is number one, protein anchor meals. Every meal does not need to be perfect. It just needs a protein base. That alone is going to stabilize your blood sugar. It's going to support muscle development, muscle maintenance, and it keeps hunger in check. So those three things alone are going to completely change on a day-to-day basis how you're feeling, how you're showing up, and the results that you're seeing. And that is just by building your plate around protein. Second concept I want you to remember is flexible structure, not rigid rules. Structure gives you a guideline. It gives you guidance. It kind of works into a framework, but rules can create rebellion. If you have these hard and strict rules, it is very easy to say, okay, I can't have, you know, this chips and salsa. Chips and salsa are my weakness. I cannot have chips. You go out to dinner to celebrate a friend's birthday. There are chips right there. You have a hard and strict rule. That is going to lead to you eating too many chips. Trust me, I know this from experience. If your plan requires perfection, it will fail the moment that you're human. I'm going to say that again. If your plan requires you to be perfect, to strive for perfection, it is going to fail 10 out of 10 times the moment that you are human and you experience real life. Pillar number two, training that supports your life. More does not equal better, especially not for women in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. You do not need 6 or 7 workouts a week. You do not need to incorporate punishment cardio if you overate or if you ate something you're considering, you know, bad or off limits. And you do not need to feel like you are completely wrecked in every single workout. What actually is going to work much, much, much better is if you just focus on some of these core elements. Number one, everybody should be strength training. In some capacity, every woman should be strength training. And this just isn't for an aesthetic perspective, although it absolutely will get you the aesthetic perspective. This is for your hormonal health, your longevity, your aging, especially your aging. We need to be thinking proactively about this. If you are a woman in your 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s, it's never too late. Start strength training. I cannot repeat this enough. Also, your daily movement. Your daily movement actually makes more of an impact than any sort of exercise will. So when we become very sedentary, that is where we start to see your metabolism downregulate. You start to see your bone density start to decrease. All of these things can really be contributed due to a more sedentary lifestyle. So your daily movement matters so much more than you may think it matters. And then what actually matters is finding workouts that fit your life instead of competing with it. So here's something I want you to really consider anytime you're feeling like, should I be working out? Should I not be working out in this context? Your workout should not compete with your life. It should support it. So when training becomes another stressor, it is going to backfire. Now, that doesn't mean, oh, well, I'm so stressed all the time right now. Work's crazy. Family life's crazy. Yada, yada, yada. I guess that means I shouldn't work out. No, what it means is that you should build it into your lifestyle. So maybe right now that looks like 2 days a week, or maybe that looks like 4 days a week, but you're building it into your lifestyle in a way that's going to support it rather than trying to fit in 6 to 7 workouts a week. And you're killing yourself doing that because the added stress of constantly trying to hit a workout is going to backfire on you, which leads me into pillar number three, which is nervous system and recovery. And this is the piece most women ignore. And it is the reason a lot of progress will stall. You cannot white knuckle your way to fat loss. Chronic stress, undereating, poor sleep, and overtraining all raise your cortisol levels, and elevated cortisol blocks results. Recovery should not be treated as a reward. It shouldn't be treated as something like, oh, yay, I worked out 6 days a week today or this week, I get a recovery day. It is a requirement. Sleep, fuel, rest days, downshifting your nervous system, all of these things are considered recovery. And that is extremely productive work, whether diet culture likes to talk about it or not. It's super unfortunate that in our very Western, driven, highly ambitious society, recovery is often seen as a negative. I think now, since health and wellness has become such a priority for so many people, which I love to see, more people are becoming like woken up to recovery and the importance of it. But still, in our like go, go, go society, recovery is something that often takes a back seat. And it is something that truly needs to be taking a front seat, which is why it is one of these three pillars. So what I want to kind of wrap up this episode with is a little test that you can use to really help you nail this in. This is the worst week test. This might be the most important question of the entire series, but ask yourself, can your routine right now survive your worst week? Not your ideal week, your absolute worst week. And if the answer is no, the plan is the problem, not you. So ask yourself, what is my minimum protein target? What is the shortest workout I'll still count or that I'll still be able to do in my worst week? What are my non-negotiables when energy is extremely low? Sustainable success is going to come from having a floor, setting these as like a baseline, not just a ceiling. And it's really easy to have this ceiling, these like, you know, gold star standards when you are feeling super high motivated when you're starting something new. But again, that motivation is going to waver. Motivation does not last. And motivation can't be what is carrying you to see those long-term results. If you're using motivation to really keep you going in whatever plan you're doing, that is why you're most likely only able to maintain it for 2 to 4 weeks. So again, ask yourself, what is your minimum protein target? What is the shortest amount of workouts this week or time frame that I can do my workouts in? And what are my non-negotiables when all else fails? When I am just feeling like I do not want to do anything, I have no time for anything, what are those non-negotiables you can root down in? And I have a few episodes from our series back in December that break down a lot of these non-negotiables that if you're not sure for yourself, you can go back and listen to those and it will help you kind of ideate on what non-negotiables are right for you in this season. And the final thing that I really want to hone in here is that we need to address how to measure progress as well, because this is a huge one that will derail women so often and it can be demotivating seeing this. So again, relying on motivation is not great. It's not going to get you to where you want to go. But then throwing in this can even demotivate you more. And that is if we are only looking at the scale for measuring our progress. If you're only using the scale to measure progress, one of my very early episodes in the podcast is 10 reasons why your body weight fluctuates and it has nothing to do with body fat. If you have not listened to that episode, that is a core episode and you need to go back and listen to it. But if the scale is the only thing you're watching, you are missing what actually matters. Progress is not just in the form of the number on the scale. It's in the form of body measurements. It's in the form of photos, but it's also in the form of noticing you have more energy, noticing that you're building strength, you're able to lift heavier, you have more energy to keep up with your kids or muscle energy, and you're sleeping better, you're having fewer cravings, you're not having as many headaches, your confidence in your decision-making is improved. These are all signals that you are progressing. And it's important to remember, too, that progress is not linear, but commitment can be. So with all of the clients that I've worked with over the years inside my practice, progress, you never see these upward or downward trajectory. It is always this curving path. It is never linear. And that's because our lives are going to ebb and flow. Our bodies, especially as women, are going to ebb and flow. And it's understanding what is the minimum commitment, what is the consistency that you can layer in to remain consistent over and over and over, day over day, week over week, month over month, year over year. Remembering that you do not need to be perfect. You just need to keep showing up using these pillars and really rooting these pillars in everything that you're doing moving forward. So let's bring this all full circle. Episode one of the series, again, we talked about awareness. Episode two was how to remove certain blockers so that you can see body health transformation that you want to see. And this episode is all about execution, how to execute on your worst weeks, because that is what's going to keep you consistent. And that's when it's going to keep you moving to actually experience the results that you want to experience. So you don't need a January or a Monday or a new month to commit to yourself and have the motivation to hit the reset button. It is the decision to stop starting over. Once you stop starting over and just start seeing the weeks as they are, seeing life as messy and then adapting to them, that is when you are going to stop starting over. And then you'll start to realize there's no such thing as starting over. You're just continuously growing and evolving. I tell my clients, everything that you're doing is a learning lesson if you see it as that. So I urge you to take everything that you might be construing as a setback or a failure as a learning lesson, learn from it, and continue to build and grow. So here is my one reflection question for you at the end of this episode. What is one habit from this series that you are going to commit to for the next 30 days? It doesn't need to be a habit that you need to commit to forever. It doesn't have to be a habit that you are even perfect with. You just need to be consistent with it. And if you want support applying this in real life, whether that's through coaching or deeper guidance, you know where to find me. I really hope this series helped you kick off 2026, really understanding how to navigate everything in a very sustainable way, in a very life-driven way, so that you're able to maintain progress and really grow progress throughout this year and never feel like you are falling backwards, because you're never falling backwards unless you truly convince yourself you are. And that's where you end up being stuck. So my final note here is always think about anything as a learning lesson and see how can you improve from that. Maybe you went out to dinner and you overate and you realized, hey, I went into that dinner so freaking hungry. I know what I can do next time. Maybe I have a protein snack before I go to dinner. Or maybe I actually eat breakfast and lunch so that I'm not ravenously hungry by the time I go to dinner. All of these instances are learning lessons for you to grow and adapt from. And the clients that see the lasting change, the life-changing change, are those that are constantly learning and adapting and are focusing on consistency over perfection. If this episode resonated with you, please, please, please share it with a friend who is tired of starting over. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss what's coming next, because I have a pretty big announcement coming here in just about 2 weeks. So until then, I will see you in the next episode.